evening, ladies and gentlemen. Terribly sorry for the delay. I'm Jonathan Lear, and I'd like to welcome you to the 5th Anniversary 2009 Joe Shuster Awards. I'd like to thank the JSA for giving me the opportunity to host this year. In case you're wondering, you know, who the hell is this guy, and why is he hosting the show, and where are those other guys? You might remember I used to host the late, great Spacey Awards and Hyperspace on the Space Channel. And if you think really, really far back,
I wore the rubber thing on my head and did space bar. Feels really far back.
You probably don't remember that. It's best if you don't. But as everyone knows, there's absolutely no money in television, so I went to the internet. And I'm now working at a site called HardcoreNerdity.com. It's a great genre site for news, reviews, podcasts, movies, comics, games. It's also a place where community fans can get together to talk about what they love and actually contribute to the site. So you should check it out someday if you get a chance. HardcoreNerdity.com. But enough of the plug. The former JSA hosts send their regrets for not being able to take part this year. Rob Salem is leaving on a long-planned trip to Italy today, so lucky him. And Rick Green has been quite busy this year with his documentary and website on ADD, as well as being an award winner himself with a Transforming Lives Award from Toronto's Centre for Addiction and Mental Health. Congratulations to Rick, and both he and Rob have assured us that they would love to return to hosting these awards in years to come. Did I read that right, Dan? Are you throwing me under the bus and I haven't even started yet? Alright, anyway. As this is the 5th anniversary of the JSAs, we're in a new location here at Innis Town Hall, and we want to thank Ian Logan and the folks at U of T for making us feel so welcome. But I guess with a name like Logan, how could we refuse, right? Speaking of that other Logan, as many of you may have seen earlier in the day, we presented a preview showing of our annual fundraiser art exhibit, Visions of an Icon, featuring the X-Men's Canadian member, Wolverine. And to anyone interested in seeing the full show of artwork, all generously contributed to our nonprofit organization by the many talented creators in our comic book community, please be sure to check out the Speakeasy Comic Book Show on November 5th at the Gladstone Hotel and on eBay in the weeks following our online auction. Regarding another upcoming event, we're hoping you're all taking part in Word on the Street Festival happening tomorrow around Queen's Park Circle, at which the JSAs have a booth and will be the host to a number of guests from tonight's event. Word on the Street will be featuring a great deal of comic book and graphic novel programming throughout the day, so it's definitely an event you don't want to miss. Also, before we get started tonight, I should mention that the JSAs have added a couple of new awards this year that they thought were long overdue. The Comics for Kids Award that looks at amazing productions by Canadian creators aimed at young readers, and the Gene Day Award for Canadian self-publishers, which rewards the efforts of those independent talents that produce their works and enter the marketplace solely on their own. Brave souls. These awards join the annual roster of categories we've chosen each year to honor and celebrate our country's outstanding creative community, along with the inducting groundbreaking talents into our Hall of Fame. Now, to begin the ceremony tonight, I'd like to bring out the co-executive director of the Canadian Comic Book Creator Awards Association to say a few words before we start handing out the hardware. Ladies and gentlemen, James Whaley.
Thanks, John. So, welcome to the 5th Annual Joe Shuster Awards at our new location, Innis Town Hall. Our first time in a real theater. None of those folding seats. I've got one up there right now. Now, to begin, I'd like to thank this year's host, Jonathan Lear, for coming on board with us for our 5th Anniversary Awards ceremony, who will, I'm sure, make this entire event look like it's running like a well-oiled machine. At least, that's what I'm hoping. It takes a real dedicated team of people to make this work each year, and this year is no different. We've lost a few people along the way. We've also gained some new faces, too. But a core group in the JSAs keeps our organization moving forward from year to year. The people on our committee this year, Kevin Boyd, my co-executive director, executive committee members, Allison Covey, Robert Haynes, Jason Truong, and Peter Fisico, and associate members, Francis Herbaya, Scott Townsend and Mary Whaley all have worked hard throughout the year to bring this event to you. And for that, I'd like to give them all a big round of applause. A lot of volunteers pitch in each year to help this run smoothly. Our audiovisual expert, Andrew Guridata, graphic designers, RJL Illustration, and Jeff Razan, who was brought in late but helped us immensely. And the artists for our poster, Francis Manipol and Agnes Garbowska, and on our Hall of Fame jam illustration, Sam Magro, Faith Aaron Hicks, Dean Motter, and Robert J. Lewis, with the coloring assistance of Karen Smith. Thanks also to this year's returning sponsors, CGC, Diamond Distribution, and Quebecor World, and our new sponsors, The Dragon, Comico, the Labyrinth, and Gorilla Printing, who really stepped up to the plate for a last-minute crisis that we had. Now, there's also a large contingent of fantastic artists who have contributed a wide array of Wolverine illos for this year's Visions of an Icon Artex exhibit, which Jonathan has mentioned. And this is so essential each year to funding this nonprofit organization. So watch for our online auction later this year and grab some great early Christmas gifts. Now, I know I've probably forgotten to name a number of people who deserve thanks, but trust me, your kindness and generosity will never be forgotten, and we couldn't do this every year without you. I can't forget to do a quick shout out to my daughter and her new fiance, Ricky, who became engaged this week, and to both her and my son, Josh, who always are a big part of this production. I hope everyone has a good time tonight, and good luck to all the nominees. Now we're starting, however, with a little unfinished business from last year, and to handle this, I want to bring up Rob Pincombe, a big supporter of the awards over the years, and someone who helped us wrap up some loose ends from last year. Rob?
Last year, the Joe Shuster Hall of Fame committee inducted Edwin R. McCall, Ted McCall. I found that the R stands for Reed. That's as much trivia as I have for you. But we had no one to give the award to. But thanks to the power of the internet, this year we can correct that at last. And there's no doubt that Ted McCall was instrumental in the rise of the Canadian Whites back in the golden age of Canadian comics during World War II. Many of you are aware that when wartime restrictions limited the cross-border flow of materials, including magazines, and most importantly of all, comic books, a number of companies in Canada rose up to fill that gap. And the first of these companies, and one of the longest-lived, was a company spearheaded by Ted McCall. A lifelong journalist and newsman, Ted first entered comics in the 30s while working for Toronto's Evening Telegram newspaper. After reporting on the exploits of the RCMP for years, he decided that they were perfect fodder for a comic strip. And he used that intimate knowledge to create one of the first independent indigenous adventure strips in Canadian newspapers, Men of the Mounted, with artist Harry Hall. He also beat out that more famous Mountie of the comic strip world, King of the Mounted, by 2 years. McCall followed that with a strip based on Robin Hood called Robin Hood and Company with Charles Snellgrove as artist. And when the paper restrictions began in World War II, Ted was one of the first to see opportunity. He convinced Simmet News to create a new publishing arm called Anglo-American, also known as Double A Comics. And he set up the company at first to release reprints of his Robin Hood and Company strip. He added to that his Men in the Mountain strip. And then, while those were being published, he began to prepare new strips with Canadian artists, with characters such as Pat the Air Cadet, Super Duper, Deadline Dick, Don Shield, Dr. Destiny, Purple Rider, Red Rover, Commander Steel, Terry Kane, the Crusaders, and his most famous creation, Freelance. a heroic freedom fighter for the Allies. Anglo rounded up their line by purchasing the scripts used in the U.S.-based Fawcett Company's Captain Marvel comics and redrawing them with their Canadian artists. But even at their height, Freelance outsold them all. And it's easy to see why, looking at the comics. Bacall drew on a wide tradition of adventure fiction and his journalist's eye for world events to make Freelance feel like his tales of worldwide espionage were ripped from the day's headlines. And in fact, many of them were. Lance globetrotted to every theater of the war. He was all over anytime, anything you would read in the paper, Lance was there at some point or another. It didn't hurt that while most comic book heroes' tales came in spurts of 6 to 10 pages, and often were continued next issue, Freelance's adventures took the entire book, were paced like a bullet, and always concluded by the back cover. You got a full reading experience for your dime when you were reading with Ted McCall. Anglo's top artist, Ed Furness, co-creator of Freelance, attributed every iota of Freelance's and AA's success to the writing of Ted McCall. And his well-deserved Hall of Fame award has finally come, accepting the award for Ted. This is great-nephew, Les McCall.
Thank you very much, Rob. I really appreciate the fact that my great uncle Ted's been honored with the Schuster Award. And like Rob said, the power of the internet was great because we just were, I was searching something in regards to wartime comics and came across awards and symposiums about my uncle Ted. And it's really great that we were able to bring this award back to us. So thank you very much, everybody. Hope you enjoy the rest of the evening.
Novel is the face that it presents to the world, and quite often it's the main selling point for that publication. Unless, of course, it's the first issue of a hot new series, or it features some new Alan Moore comic scripting, in which case it could be drawn by a chimp in a crayon. To present this award, I'd like to bring up a comic book creator who needs no introduction, a man who's handled artwork and scripting on some of the top characters of the business, from Batman to Spider-Man to even Bart Simpson. He's currently working on a new series for Moonstone Comics, reintroducing a host of classic Canadian superheroes, including his own take on someone called Johnny Canuck. He is also a respected and beloved educator, and is currently teaching a course for the newly formed Toronto Cartoonists Workshop. He's a big supporter of the JSAs right from the outset, and a past award winner himself. Here he is, Ty Templeton.
I own a copy of Action Comics 13. I'm very proud of that. I like to tell people as often as I can. It's very old. I've kept it in great shape. I paid $3 for it. What a bastard. I got it for $3. But the reason I bring this up is because the comic has no cover on it, and everybody tells me it's not even worth the $3 that I paid for it. And that's because people really think that comics are worthless without a cover. That is how valuable the cover is. A comic is absolutely worthless. Without a cover, it's not collectible. Without a cover, we don't want it. It's a cesspool of crap without a cover on it. And a cover is something more than giving it the value of collectability. The cover is that last opportunity that the publisher has to shout out at the buyer, "Buy me! Pay no attention to the X-Men this week! I'm going home with you!" That's what a cover is for. And tonight, our nominees are the people that know how to do that, how to mix commerce and art so beautifully that they create the images that go home with us, whether or not we took them home in our shopping bag or we took them home in our brains. All right, the nominees tonight are Adrian Alfona for his lovely cover on Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane Volume 2, variant cover. Darwin Cook for The Spirit Number 12, published by DC Comics. Marc de la Fontaine for Les Nombriles, tome 3, Les Liens de l'Amitié. I'm going to pronounce this right. L'Amitié. There you go. Dale Eaglesham for his cover for Justice Society of America, number 14, a variant cover for DC Comics. David Finch for Amazing Spider-Man 572, a variant for Marvel Comics. Philippe Giraud for Les Ravines, Mécanique Générale. I'm not even close. Générale, sorry, Mécanique Générale. Nico Henrichon for Hostile, tome 1 for Dupuis. Steve McNiven for arguably the best named comic on the stands, Kick Ass Number 1. For comic and kick ass, I don't know what it is. Dean Motter for Mr. X, the Condemned, number 1 from Guy Forest. And finally, someone you guys have probably never heard of, Dave Sim for a zombie variant for Glamour Quest number 4. And the Schuster goes home with. Nico Henrichon. For the wonderful work on Austin Tom. I'm afraid that the winner is not here, so we're definitely going to send it to them. And one more round of applause for the wonderful work. Next, we are giving out the award for the colorist of the year, I believe. We're continuing on? I think so. Excellent. All right. I'm an old fart. I've been around since we've been coloring comics with 64 colors. That was all we had. It was what came in a box of crayons. It was what available to us when we colored Batman and Green Lantern back in the old days when dinosaurs ruled the world. Coloring was awful. Nowadays we have 12 million colors and coloring is slightly better. No, it's gotten far, far better. The people that color comics nowadays are such a vital, important part of the team that a couple of years ago we noticed they started to get their names on the cover. I think Frank Miller and Lynn Varley started that. I might be wrong, but if they did, a round of applause for them. But the idea that suddenly we have colorists as part of the team. They're equally important, the penciler, the writer, and the inker in a comic book nowadays. No matter what the penciler, the writer, and the inker think, they're no longer the only kings on the grounds. There's someone there who's just as vitally important. And these are the people that make it all come to life with the 10 million colors they have to choose from. Now, I'm married to a professional colorist, and I know how much effort goes into every page. This is not just slapping together the 64 crayon colors anymore. This is a craft and an art form of supreme ability. Our nominees this year are Jean-François Beaulieu, I'm terrible with the French. Jean-François Beaulieu for her, for his work on, gosh, a list too long to read. Sorry, there's like 45 numbers. Secondly, Chris Chukri for another list far too long to read, I'm afraid. I apologize ahead of time if I'm mispronouncing this. Maurice Dubuc for the work on Les Nobles, tome 3, Les Liens de l'Amitié, again. Nathan Fairbairn for his work this year. Laverne Kinzerski for all the work he's done this year. Francois Lapierre. And finally, Dave McKegg for yet another list far too long to read. The colorist Schuster goes home with Francois Lapierre. Didn't color them, I hope, but the Schuster will eventually get their way to them. And thank you, indeed.
Nice job. Well done. Okay, moving along, presenting the first of 2009's Hall of Fame Inductee Awards is the host of the show Straight Talk on Fanshawe College's radio station 106.9 FM. He's the official town crier for London, Ontario, the owner of the Laugh Guards Entertainment Company, and an early fanzine publisher in the 70s with Media 5 Productions. featuring one of the first Canadian sci-fi comics for mature audiences, Andromeda, a name which the Silver Snail Comic Shop later bought and published under. A longtime comic fan and enthusiast, and an esteemed member of a core JSA jury committee this year, Bill Paul.
Since you introduced me as a town crier, I had to prove it. Now, you're going to have to give me the piece of paper that I want to give you, because nobody gave me any paper. I can just make it up. While the speech is coming to me, I would like to say that I'm the town crier of London, Ontario, and one of our great contributions to to comics is in 1966 they came to London and took away our news reporter Paul Soles to be the voice of the original Spider-Man and the original Spider-Man cartoon. So it's one of our contributions. I'm here to talk about Rael Gabou, who was born in Montreal in 1951. A self-taught artist who began his career in the 1970s. And known as one of the leading Quebec comic creators of his generation, he's a leader of the medium's rebirth in the effervescent period often called the spring of PGQ, when he worked for magazines such as Cartier-Latin and Vidé, and the humor magazine L'Illustré, where he created the character Bill Belisle. He was present for a while in the Daily Press, with the Italian comic strip, and in 1975, which was when I was publishing Media 5 and Andromeda, he created one of his most famous characters, Michel Risque, in the collective comic book La Bande Dessinée Québécoise. The series would continue in the Mémis magazine. From 1979 to 1995, he worked for the satirical monthly magazine Crow, where he and writer Pierre Fournier continued the Michel Risque series. When Jacques Retoubis, Zix, launched the Titanic magazine in 1983, Gabou and Fournier started their Red Ketchup series, based on a secondary character from Michel Risque. However, Titanic did not last long, and Red Ketchup, a favorite with many readers, moved over to the magazine Crow, where his adventures alternate with those of Michel Risque. Since the mid-1980s, his work has been published in such diverse places as L'Hydrocéphale, The Year of Comics, 85-86, Safarir, and the journal 100% Paper, amongst others. These days, Rael Gabou works primarily in illustration and has also produced a great deal of storyboard material for animation. Rael also created a series of educational comic strips on famous Canadian scientists for Les Dreguliards magazine, and since 1999 has taught comic art in the fine arts program at the Université du Québec in Ottawa. To the joy of his many fans and his most famous creations, Michel Risque and Red Ketchup are currently being collected and re-released by Edition de la Pastique, and he's busily working on a new graphic novel entitled L'Amérique ou les Disparus, based on Franz Kafka's America. Regrettably, Rael is not able to attend our award ceremony tonight, but he's emailed the following for us to accept in his honor. You may read this message or a part of it on my behalf. If you wish to know, my English may be a bit weird. Well, my French is a bit weird, so we'll do it in English. Unfortunately, I shall not be able to make it to the awards presentation because of my schedule and my budget. It's recession time here, too. However, I'm deeply honored and grateful for my induction into the Hall of Fame. You can be sure it's very important to me. It's great having some recognition from the other side of Canada. It's about the first time I've earned an award and had to be a Lifetime Achievement Award. It doesn't make me feel any younger. Many years have gone by, but I'm still keeping on making comics. At least I try. Even though things have improved slightly over the past 30 years, it's still not easy being a comics creator around here. We may come from different planets, but I guess it's the same for you over there. We have a lot to share. I wish to thank everyone who supported me through all these years, especially the publishers of Crow Magazine, who allowed me to reach a wide audience back in the 80s, the people of La Pastique, who make the whole thing come alive again, Pierre Fournier, my longtime partner in comics, and finally my family. And I thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Thanks, man. That was cool.
Okay, our next category, Outstanding Canadian Comic Book and / or Graphic Novel Publisher. The presenter of this award is, the page is blank. I'm presenting it. Oh, yeah, you say you'll host and then I take advantage. All right, okay, fine. I guess you should have read the fine prints a little more carefully. Anyway, with a great deal of our Canadian comic book creators do their work for publishers at far-flung distances from these shores, the Great White North has produced a good number of publishers over the years that have printed works by both homegrown talent and by creators from other countries. Fair is fair. Tonight we'll be honoring the top company in this land for comic and or graphic novel publication in 2008, and the nominees are Aardvark Vanna, Arcana Studio, Conundrum Press, Drawn and Quarterly, Les 400 Coups Mécaniques Générales, Red 5 Comics, Udon Entertainment, and the Bill Schuster Award goes to the one that I had the most trouble pronouncing, Les 400 Coups Mécaniques Générales. I'm sure they very much appreciate the Schuster, and we'll hang on to it until we can get it to them. Congratulations! Okay, our next award, the Harry Kramer Outstanding Canadian Comic Book Retailer. That's an award that was named after the late owner of the now sadly defunct Kitchener-Waterloo comic book shop, Now and Then Books, and who was a pioneer in the comic retail business in Canada, a principal supporter to the early career of Dave Sim and many other up-and-coming comic talents, and a passionate promoter of the medium throughout his life. To present this award, we're glad to welcome to the stage one of Canada's premier comic artists, who's worked at Marvel on Daredevil, The Inhumans, Thunderbolts, Alpha Flight, and West Coast Avengers, and at DC on The Justice League, Birds of Prey, and Batman and the Outsiders. Recently, he's worked on the Dark Horse series Star Wars Dark Times, and on IDW's Angel After the Fall. He's currently one of the main instructors in the Max the Mutt comic book art classes, where he's training a whole new generation of Canadian comic book creators. Toronto's own Dave Ross.
This evening I'm here to present the award for Outstanding Comic Book Retailer. Now the comic book retailer is the one who has the direct contact with the readers and is in a sense the conduit between the publishers and the creators and the readers out there. Very, very important job. And for all of us who are at this end of it, we appreciate what they do, and particularly the best among them who share their enthusiasm and bring in whole new generations of readers, generation after generation after generation. So, tonight, we want to talk about what makes a comic book retailer outstanding, and the judging committee looked at factors such as customer service, product knowledge, overall appearance and atmosphere in the shops, and of course their community involvement, and that's what I was getting at so much, is getting the community involved, getting new readers coming in and sharing their joy, sharing their excitement in this wonderful medium with the general public at large. So, all of the 8 nominated stores should take their nomination as a pat on the back for a job well done. And any one of them could be receiving this award tonight. This year's Terry Kramer Award for Outstanding Retailer, the nominees are Another Dimension, The Big Island, Comic Encounters, Curious Comics, Cyber City Comics, Elfzar, Legends Comics and Books, and Stadium Comics. And the winner is... Legends Comics.
This particularly cool, somebody emailed me, they said they want to open a store, and what was my advice, and I was going to tell them, try and get a job where you can make some money, but instead the first thing that came to my mind was, well, you better love comics 7 days a week. And that makes this award very cool, because amongst all of them, that's what it represents, whether it was Joe Shuster, who spent 8 years driving around a big guy in blue tights, convinced that it was a work of art that everybody should share, or whether it's the people sitting out here who contribute so much in their creativity, or the Shuster people, because I think they're just the coolest work going. And therefore, on behalf of myself and my partner, Eric Godin, who's also a comic guy with 19 years self-published in the Magic Team Dailies, and I guess I should say on behalf of our wives, who are both kind of like Canada's next top model, and still not ashamed to love guys who love comics. Thank you very much. I'm Victoria and visit Legends Comics and Comics.
Can I get a cool hat like that? Congratulations, Legends. Okay, with the second of our four new Hall of Fame inductees to honor, our presenter is another longtime supporter of the JSAs who was there on the ground floor when this organization began with his past experience on the Eisner Awards jury. He's always been looked on as a key advisor and a mainstay for this annual event. He's a former comic shop manager and a longtime producer at Space TV, along with being one of the creators of the cult classic and highly renowned TVO series, Prisoners of Gravity.
Is that true, Mark?
You work at Space TV?
Apparently.
I never saw you there. I don't know, sounds fishy. A comic creator in his own... Where did you sit?
Behind you.
This doesn't ring a bell. A comic creator in his own right would work on such books as The Prisoner and The Silencers. He's an almost encyclopedic knowledge of comics field. He really does. He never shuts up. He's frequently asked to consult on many productions about comics, such as Ron Mann's film, Comic Book Confidential. Always a major asset to our awards presentation. Here he is to present for our next inductee. Join me in calling to the stage, Mark Asquith. Well,
specialization is for insects, not artists. Those words were uttered by the next Hall of Fame inductee, Ken Stacey. Ken has written, edited, published, designed, colored, and lettered. He's taught drawing, medical illustration, and sequential storytelling. He also makes a mean chili. Ken is probably best known as an artist who's collaborated with Harlan Ellison, Dean Moder, Douglas Copeland, and his favorite writer, himself, Ken is an Army brat who loves aircraft, and I think he may be the only Schuster Hall of Fame inductee to have ever worked and have permanent art in the collection of the National War Museum. I was thinking today about what I would say about Ken, and I've picked a story that I hope will embarrass him somewhat. And a number of years ago, Ken, one of his heroes is Alex Toth, the late, great Alex Toth. And Ken had done a story, a Blackhawk story, for DC Comics. And full of pride, he wrote Alex a letter and sent him a copy, thanking Alex for his inspiration. Alex wrote back a 5-page handwritten letter that completely tore the story apart. It was a page-by-page, panel-by-panel evisceration of everything that Ken had done. I don't know about you, I might have burned it, maybe I'd have put it in a vault for posterity. Ken made Xerox copies of it and handed it out to everybody that he knew and said, "This is how you do comics." That was a turning point for me, and I still have a copy of that Xerox. And it is, he was right, it is a blueprint for making comics. But Ken shared it with the world, and I don't think many people would have. Unfortunately, Ken cannot be with us tonight. He's at home in Victoria. But Ken was in Toronto lately, teaching at Max the Mutt, and meeting with authors like Sharon McKay, with whom he's collaborating with on a project about children of war. Ken was at the recent Fan Expo, and the Schuster Award Committee took the opportunity to present him with his plaque and shoot some footage with tonight's host, Hardcore Nerdy's John Lear. Here's the footage.
Mr. Stacey, congratulations on winning the Joe Schuster Award, Hall of Fame Award for 2009. It's very beautiful. There you go. Now, you're such a legend in the industry. Looking back, what do you feel are some of your finest achievements?
Well, I think more than anything, it's the fact that when I was 11, I decided this is what I was going to do for them. And I'm delighted to say that I have parents who never tried to persuade me from what's a very atypical career path for an Air Force officer's son. And they never, you know, I was carried on and hard at it. And I've always have been able to do the kind of projects that I love doing. And, you know, to this day, I'm continuing. And it's just,
that's terrific. Now, I know most artists consider their creations to be like children to them, but if anything sticks out over the last few years, what is it for you?
Oh gosh, there have been so many projects. More than anything, I suppose my own one of the crossing characters that I created, the Tempest Fugitive, which was a series that I did too in many ways, honoring my father and all the paths that he took it. So it's sort of time traveling proud. So my past profession's aviation, so that was more anything that in fact is my wife and I are involved with. We do a lot of entertainment. We've been applying graphic novels, sequential narrative, language to educating young people about native arts and culture, the work of museums and foundations, and made us a wonderful challenge.
Well, once again, congratulations on the award, and I'm sure there's a lot more work to come.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good job, Mark.
I think now we've got some remarks from the co-executive director, Kevin A. Boyd. Come on down, Kevin.
Hey, I don't get to dress up like James Bond very often. I mean, it's quite the occasion of... Nice photo. James, you have this nice, respectful, like, staring into the distance, and I got my... That was like years ago. Anyway, so I'm here to just sort of overview the process of how we got here this evening. And it all began back in December of last year when James and Jason Truong and I went through all of the releases from last year. We put down a list, published it on the web. We got a lot of feedback from creators who we may have missed originally. We fleshed that list out, and then we recruited a group of people for our nominating committee. Now, our nominating committee consisted of a number of individuals from across Canada, and I'd like to thank them tonight, including Jay Bardilla from Alberta, Eric Bouchard from Quebec,
Laurent Boutin, also from Quebec, Ty Butters from Ontario, Martin Dubé from Quebec, Rachel Gauguin from Nova Scotia, our French publications coordinator, Francois Hervieux, also from Quebec, Jonathan Cooling from the Metro and Toronto Star from Ontario, Robin McConnell from British Columbia, Shauna Rowe from Alberta, and the entire Vincent Massey College Comic Book Club under the direction of Steve Backus, who did a fantastic job for us. Now, after they submitted their nominees, and this was a three-month process, we then recruited a jury, and that jury consisted of Robin Fisher from Montreal, Jeffrey Kahn from Windsor, Victor Lucas from BC, host of Electric Playground, William Paul, thank you, Bo, also Paul Wardle from Toronto. Now, they had from May to September to deliver it. We gave them a lot of time. We gave them copies of all the nominated works, and the results are tonight being presented. Now, we also had a couple of new awards this year, Comics for Kids, and Jen Stewart, our local educating expert, recruited some of her colleagues, Beth Alexander and Diana Pay, to help her pick the nominees for that award. They then passed that set of nominees onto that jury, consisting of Scott Chandler, who has been a previous nominee for the Cartoonist Award, Douglas Davey, and Graham Purcell. Other awards, such as webcomics, were selected by members of the executive committee, and we also passed that set of nominees on to the jury to select to the previously mentioned jury. The Gene Day Award, another new award for this year, was nominated actually by the people who did the comics. We received over 96 entries from people who create comics across the country. We've got some great independent publications, and we passed that box around from location to location, from Dr. Bart Beattie out in Alberta, Troy Little out on the East Coast, and Chris Owen from Mohawk College here in Ontario, Hamilton. Finally, our Hall of Fame committee, they deserve a lot of thanks. It's a lot of deliberation. Our Hall of Fame committee included John Adcock, John Bell, Bob McMillan, Henry Metkowitz, who did the final interview with Joe Shuster before he passed away in 1991, and Michelle Viau. So let's give a really big round of applause for all of you. Andrew Girardata for the fantastic presentation. We're now officially at the halfway mark, so we'll keep moving along, and thank you very much.
God, it's the halfway mark. I gotta breathe. Okay, the next award is an environmentally friendly category. It's the Outstanding Canadian Web Comic Creator / Creative Team. Sacrifices no trees to be published, and some people think this route is the way of the future for the comic industry. Our presenters are two gentlemen that are quite familiar with web comics themselves. One of them has his own online strip, and together they're the hosts of the Watchtower podcast. Please welcome Jeff Moss and Donnie Coulter.
I'm Jeff Moss, this is Donnie Coulter.
Questy.
Donnie Coulter. And we are here to do some of the presenting.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
We're on the internet.
Yes, apparently. On our show, we do a thing called Why Do I Own This? And we go through the best of the worst, all the dollar bin stuff, all the stuff that you know you love, but you just, why did you buy this? So what I've done here is I have taken the nominees for Outstanding Canadian Webcomic Creator / Creative Team, and we're gonna do a little Why Do We Own This. I put these in here. He hasn't seen them yet. It's gonna be good. Okay. First up, Kate Beaton for Heart of Vagrant.
We have Spectacular Spider-Man number 182, and this series is canceled, and it's probably because they got sick and tired of Spider-Man fighting naked guys on the cover, and also it says Cap's 50 years old, and nobody likes to be reminded that they're 50.
Touche. Up next, Michael Cho for Paper Cut.
Okay, Captain Adam, number 29. He's pretty frustrated looking, and he's flying through somewhere with his body. Probably a frustrating thing to do. And he's walking away from a guy in a suit, which has a briefcase. I can only imagine that's the tax man, and that probably leads to his frustration. Up next, largest Sousa and Ryan Sober, for at least I could do, slash. Wow, Star Trek, number 27, where it says secrets. There looks like they're on a planet face, and they're mourning one of their lost comrades. Who's the one? But I'm not saying anything, like they're just as good as us. And you'll notice that they're wearing a blue uniform, which is not really what Star Trek's about. Red uniform dies first.
Fair.
Catherine and Stuart Immonen for Moving Pictures. Wow, okay. Night Thrasher, part 204. Didn't even get the first issue of this one. The only thing that we said about Night Thrasher is that he has skateboard. And that's terrible.
It's true, man. He did have a skateboard.
Grown man on a skateboard.
I have a skateboard.
Do you have a skateboard?
Never.
That's great. Carl Kerschel for the Abominable Charles Christopher. Legionnaires 3, I really don't want to say anything bad about Legion, because if you ever say anything bad in front of Legion fans, that's it for you. They are diehard. I'm not taking a risk.
Good call, good call. Now, this is where we get French, so bear with me. Giselle Lagrasse and David Munston for Ménage à Trois. Yeah.
New Mutants 97. Rob Liefeld. Yeah, this is the age of Marvel Comics, probably in DC as well, where it's just big guns, big muscles, and really tiny feet. And thank God we're not in the 90s anymore.
Up next, Ramon K. Perez for Kookaburri and Butternut Squad.
Superboy 48 is getting it through the chest with a lightning bolt. I really like Superboy. I'm not a big Super Family fan, but I like Superboy. This is probably happening to him because of his terrible choice of haircut. Nobody does the undercut anymore. And when he came back, they gave him just a t-shirt and jeans and a nice crew cut. It looks good now.
It's all good. And finally, Cameron Stewart for Sing to Chulo.
Yeah, okay, Wolverine 22 brings us this nominee, and he's fighting the Spore. Obviously a really popular character, because you've never heard it until now. And maybe that's because it looks like mayonnaise. So you're probably the grossest substance known to man.
Wolverine versus mayonnaise. Alright, the Joe Schuster Award for Canadian webcomic creator slash creative team. Cameron Stewart.
B, by the way. Okay, page.
Thank you.
Page 1 of 136. Yeah. Andy, turn to page 5. Oh, Andy, put this on. Okay. I'm Cameron Stewart. You may know me from such hits as Catwoman, Sea Guy, the Eisner nominated. Seven Soldiers, and Superman, Batman, and Robin. I'm here to accept the award. Oh, hang on. Page 40-something. Hang on, I can't even see.
Yes, in the immortal words of Jesus, Gandhi, and Journey, don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. Turn to page 40. Take it off, you look like a retard. Okay. Anyway, you'd like to say thank you? And actually, he's going to be furious with me over this, so it's really funny. do I get it? Where is it? Do I have to hold it? But it should be mine anyway.
Even know that guy knows Kim.
Well done, okay. Our next presenter was the regular artist on the highly regarded and long-running UFO 50s paranoia comic book series, Silent Invasion, along with providing art for the nuclear family comic of high anxiety, Suburban Nightmares, and doing the visuals on the series, The New Frontier. No, not that one, the one that came before Darwin's. Anyway, it's been around a decade since he's done regular work in comics, working as a graphic designer and illustrator for a local studio, instead with an occasional short comic story here and there. This will all change soon as he's gearing up for some new tales of the Silent Invasion with his longtime collaborator, Larry Hancock, and has plans for a graphic novel scripted by the JSA's own James Whaley called The Third Horseman, which will deal with Stalin's systematic starvation of millions in Ukraine in the 30s. And now, without further ado, to present the outstanding Canadian comic book artist slash artist team, the very talented comic creator, Mike Jurgis.
I follow a comedy routine. Many comics are a collaborative effort where text and pictures are married on the page through a balance of visuals and well-chosen words, or so it should be in a perfect world. Sometimes lightning is caught in a bottle, like when Lee and Kirby, or Hancock and Shirkus, created their masterpieces and two talents play off each other's strengths, and it comes out like a fine recipe with all the right ingredients, or the sounds of a great orchestra. This category is a celebration of when that mix comes together in such a way to create a magic that jumps off the page and takes a comic fan to worlds never imagined and adventures never seen before. Being a visual medium, this is essential to the success of a comic book production, and here are a number of individuals that elevated the marks they put on the page to the highest of heights in the service of a great story. Mark Delafontaine, Dale Eaglesham, Justin 18 to 22, DC Comics. David Finch, Ultimatum number 1 and 2. Carl Herschel and Sarah Jahan. Jacques Lamontagne, Les Druides, Soleil Production. My French is horrible. Steve McNiven, Amazing Spider-Man, 60-70 Marvel Comics. Steve Rolston. And the award goes to you.
He's hard, right?
David Finch. Unable to attend this year because of his son's birthday party, but he has sent along a brief statement of acceptance in case. So, thank you so much. This award means a great deal to me, not only because of its namesake, but because it's Canadian. We have so much talent up here, and it's a wonderful thing to have the Joe Shuster Awards to highlight that fact. There are so many unbelievably talented artists from Canada that are more than deserving of this award, so I consider it a great honor to have won this year. I just wish I could be there to enjoy it with you. If I could, I'd really like to thank my mother, first and foremost, and my wife and kids, and then Mark Silvestri, Joe Benitez, Danny Miki, Joe Beans, Joe Quesada, and everyone at Marvel, Spencer Beck, Harris Miller, and all of you.
And we've already met our next presenter earlier this evening. I'd like to welcome Robert Pincombe back to the stage to present the third of our four creators into the Canadian Comic Book Creator Hall of Fame. Right, Robert.
I was waiting for a second there. There were many companies that published Canadian Whites during the Second World War, and one of the classiest was Educational Projects, whose flagship comic was called Canadian Heroes. And a big part of the reason for that class was the artwork and storytelling of our next Hall of Fame inductee, George Menendez Rey. Canadian Heroes was aimed at educating kids and honoring their contribution to Canadian life and to the home front war effort. Each issue featured stories of historical figures, generally Canadian historical figures, modern politicians, and tales of battlefield heroism meant to inspire young Canucks. It also contained book reviews, examinations of potential careers in the growing country, celebrations of the community-building initiatives of the readership, and sometimes wild, bizarre predictions for the future of the country sent in by imaginative kids from nationwide. So basically, it was a one-stop shopping for comic enjoyment that your parents would approve of. And it probably sounds kind of boring, but in fact, it's not. It's actually a very good read, and a big part of that is because of the artwork that lifts the features off the page as you turn each one. Each issue reads like a large stable of artists are contributing, but though there were several talented artists working on the book, a large number of them were George Menendez Rey, signing himself variously as Ray, R, Dez, and Geo. And the interesting thing is, each signature carried with it a variation in style, making it seem like a different person drew each feature, and each feature had its own unique look. But each style shared Ray's supple line work, his clear storytelling, and elegant page layouts. Educational Projects insisted that everything in their books had to be based on reality. There would be no magic words or leaping over tall buildings between the covers of Canadian Heroes, but Ray saw more potential for the book. He convinced the publishers and his editor to add an adventure series based on the true tales of the RCMP. His most famous innovation was the creation of his national superhero, Canada Jack. Canada Jack's adventures were designed to model an active lifestyle to kids and provide a character to inspire the readers to get involved. Jack made his debut in the March 1943 issue of Canadian Heroes, and his hero was not flashy. His costume consisted of tight slacks and a tank top that featured a Canada Jack crest on his chest, and whatever gear was needed for the sport that he was enjoying in that particular issue. A gymnast, a jiu-jitsu expert, and superb horseman, he protected the Canadian home front for a variety of villains, including saboteurs, kidnappers, black marketeers, escaped Nazi POWs, and kids behaving badly among their friends. Johnny stole my watch, but I needed money. But I felt bad and I couldn't bring myself to fence it. You're a good kid with a good heart, Johnny. Go peel some potatoes. Thank you, Canada Jack. Canada Jack also inspired the creation of a popular children's club that brought together fans of the strip and encouraged kids to contribute to the Canadian war effort and celebrate those efforts. They were printed on the club pages, the projects that they did, and their names were printed. They were congratulated, and fictional versions of the club members were always deeply involved in Canada Jack's comic book adventures. Ray's comic art also appeared in the Canadian Jewish Congress titled Jewish War Heroes, perhaps the first Canadian giveaway comic book, and in two educational compilations, Action Stories of the Mountain and The Thrilling Adventures of Canada Jack. Following the demise of educational projects in late 45, Ray left the comics field and became increasingly active as a fine artist, serving as the president of the Arts Club of Montreal, receiving the Order of Merit for his many contributions to the arts in his home community of Saint-Lumer, Quebec. We are honored to induct George Menendez Ray into the Joe Shuster Hall of Fame, and here to accept the award is George's niece, Mary Byers.
You've done a lot of research on my uncle. Wow. What a country. Yeah. I'll just add one or two things to that research. My uncle decided, I think, as Ken Stacy, about the same age, that this was what he wanted to do with his life. And he was working as a teenager in Toronto when the Group of Seven were doing commercial art, and they had a studio, and he would just go up there, he'd sweep the floor, he'd just want to look at them and see what they were doing. And then he worked for about 25 years for the Family Herald and Weekly Star, and they said of him, about his comic work, that when he drew a bull, the mad bull fairly breathes fire from his nostrils. And they spoke about his rib-tickling cartoon drawings. And I think what you all know is the way that cartoon artists can capture that action and just make it so incredibly strong. My daughter and my two sons are here, and they will remember George. When they were young, he'd come and he'd give me a piece of paper and he'd say, draw a line. So they'd work away at the line, and then he would just take that line, and in a minute it was an exciting action shot, and that's the kind of amazing creativity that you all know so much about. So thank you very much. This is indeed a great, great honor.
Cool, this is pretty educational. I didn't know it was going to be so educational this evening. I'm fascinated. Okay, the presenter for the first of our new awards tonight, the Comics for Kids Award, is the owner of the Dragon Guelph's Comic Shop, which opened in 1998, and is also a teacher of Latin and drama at the Linden School in the heart of Toronto. After years of hearing people talk about how comics were better in the past, and how comic publishers had abandoned young readers, she decided to take an active role in the promotion and advancement of comics to young readers. She and her store have sponsored Comics for Kids events at conventions in the city, participated in university talks about women and gender issues in comics, worked with schools and libraries through her Comics in a Classroom program, and is sponsoring a graphic novel tent at Word on the Street in Kitchener tomorrow to promote comics children, teens, and new adult readers. Ladies and gentlemen, Jennifer Stewart.
So I'm very excited to be part of forming this new award, the Comics for Kids Award. It's so important to bring those new readers into comics, and it's been absolutely fabulous to work with teachers and librarians in selecting books that we feel confident that we can hand over to a child and know they would be enriched by the experience of reading it. All of the books that were selected for the nomination are all deserving of this award. They are all absolutely fantastic and definitely fill that category of books that children would be enriched by reading. There's so many amazing works being done by Canadian creators for the children's market, and I look forward to seeing that grow and become more and more part of our comic culture. The list of nominees is Clayton Hanmer for a Seton Super Amazing Year of Crazy Comics. Susan Hughes and Willow Dawson for No Girls Allowed. Carl Kerschel and Serge Lafont for Teen Titans Year One. Liam O'Donnell and Michael Diaz for Ramp Rats, a graphic novel adventure. Paul Rue for Ariane et Nicolas Thompson, Les Tours de Babel. Chad Solomon for The Adventures of Rabbit and Bear Paws, Volume 2, The Voyager. King Su for Jalabi, Book 2. And Mariko Tamaki and Steve Rolston for Amico Superstar. And the inaugural Comics for Kids Award goes to Keen Sue for Jalabi. Unfortunately, he's not here tonight to accept this award. And he hasn't sent any words for us to read, so I guess I'm just going to take them.
Okay, our next award this evening is the JSA equivalent to the Best Director Academy Award, and that's the award for Outstanding Canadian Comic Book Cartoonist. Previous winners have included creators like Darwin Cook and Jeff Lemire, who were both nominated again this year. At this time, I'd like to invite Kevin Boyd back to the stage to present in this category. Kevin.
I'd like to start by thanking Mary Whaley for all of her help tonight. Handing out the awards. Hopefully a few more next year. Anyway, I'm here to present the Outstanding Canadian Comic Book Cartoonist Award. Now, unlike the other categories that were presented here tonight, work of the comics writer slash artist, also known as the cartoonist, is one that is judged not merely along the lines of craft, storytelling, and creativity, but also along the lines of the ability of the creator to express their personal vision through comics and at times to push and stretch the boundaries of what they can do with the medium. Now, the nine individuals that were nominated in this category include some of the most well-known and respected Canadian cartoonists working in the industry today, in both French and English, as well as some of the country's newest creative visionaries. Now, the jury felt that this was a tough category to finalize, and I think it's important to note, and that's why I'm presenting this award, that this award could have gone to just about anybody, and there were four really close choices for the top category, for the top winner. But I'm going to start off by running through the nominees list, and that includes Grégoire Bouchard for Vers le monde lointain, published by previous winner Darwin Cook for Chapter 10, The Greater Good, from Justice League, The New Frontier Special Number 1. Francis Deschamnid for Burkett, published by Les 400 Coups. Michel Garnier for The Saga of Rax, Chapter 5, from Flight Volume 5. Jean-Paul Eat was nominated also for Des Tondeuses and Des Hommes, Le Pastique, but unfortunately the jury had to disqualify because we turned out that it was partially reprinted, only the cover was new, so I'm sorry about that. Anyway, Faith Heron Hicks is our next nominee for The War in Ellesmere. Previous winner Jeff Lemire for his third volume in the Essex County Trilogy. Seth for Thoreau McDonald from Kramer's Urgot, Volume 7. And finally, Dave Sim for Glamour Puss Number 1 to 4 and Judenhaus, published by Aardvark Vanahan. And the winner? Dave Sim. But accepting on behalf of Dave Sim tonight is his friend Matthew Ingraham. Is Matthew here?
Hi there. As you can see, I'm not Dave Sim. I'm about a quarter of his age. I've been in the industry a very long time. So, Davison just told me to thank everybody who is involved with choosing for this award. He is deeply honored. And unfortunately, he couldn't be here tonight because he's rough at work with the next issue of Grammar Puss. And also for the premiere of his new television program, Cerebus TV, focusing on different aspects of the comic industry, which will be premiering in mid-October. And we have a video clip. He's not very talkative.
I am gratified and humbled to receive this award here in the twilight of my 35-year career in independent and Canadian comics. You know, it's usually a pretty safe bet that by the time you've been inducted into a Hall of Fame, as I was in the year 2006 with the Schuster Awards, that it's the nicest possible way of saying, in the wise words of the governor of California, hasta la vista, baby. So I'd like to sincerely thank the tireless organizers of the Joe Schuster Awards, Kevin Boyd and my old boss, Jim Whaley, as well as the 2009 Joe Schuster Award jury, for giving me a very gratifying and humbling reason to figure out where it is that I'm going to be putting my 1981 Inkpot Award to make room for my third Joe Schuster Award. Thank you again. I hope you all have a wonderful evening.
Or that well, so I'm just going to take the award.
Now to welcome the final inductee to the Hall of Fame, here is again the incomparable Mark Aswood.
First of all, I'd like to thank my medical assistant, John Lear, for being here tonight. I think he's doing a great job as the presenter, and I think he should come back. So this is the fifth year that I've been involved with the JSA Hall of Fame Awards. And I don't know why this is, but even including Ken Stacy, this is the first time that they've allowed me to do an inductation, is that the word? An induction with somebody who's actually here at the ceremony. I don't really know why that is. Well, Diana Schutz. Diana has worked in the comic book industry for over 30 years. She began as a fan and worked at the comic shop in Vancouver. Then she moved to Berkeley, where she worked at Comics and Comics. She's been a retailer, a writer, an educator, and most notably, an editor. Diana held an editorial position at Marvel Comics for 4 days, which I think must be some kind of record. And then she became the editor-in-chief of Kimiko, where she nurtured talent like Matt Wagner. And she's been an editor at Dark Horse since 1990. I first encountered Diana through the letters pages of Daredevil. Look, props. What would an award ceremony be without props? Thank you, Rob Pincombe, for that idea. Well, she, alongside Elizabeth Holden and T.M. Maple, were the most articulate letter hacks, and I was also inspired by her newsletter for Comics and Comics called The Telegraph Wire, which was the inspiration for the Silver Snail newsline. Diana is best known as an editor, and she's worked with outstanding writers, including Harlan Ellison, Joyce Carol Oates, Michael Chabon, and Brian K. Vaughan. But she seems to prefer working with cartoonists. Cartoonists like Will Eisner, Frank Miller, Mike Mignola, Stan Sakai, and Paul Chadwick. She's also worked with several Canadians, notably Bernie Moreau, Dean Motter, Jeff Lemire, and Rob Walton. Here's what a few of her peers had to say about her when they found out that she'd won this award. Frank Miller, she is the finest editor in comics since Archie Goodwin. Matt Wagner, she leads me to stories I didn't know I had in me. Mike Vignola, and if you know Mike, this has deeper resonance. She makes the whole process as painless as possible. Jeff Smith, she's very persistent, knows exactly what she wants, and pushes for excellence. Her aesthetic judgment is underrated. And finally, Schuster Hall of Famer tonight, Ken Stacy. It's an honor to be inducted, but to be inducted along with Diana, how cool is that? Of course, I can't really induct her without reading from her own work. And I read now from her letter to Daredevil 185. Dear Frank, the art, as usual, is incomparable. Your storytelling is unmatched. It's obvious that you are sincere, enthusiastic, and serious about each page you produce. When I read your work, I have a hard time remembering this is comics after all. That's your gift, and a gift thereby to all your fans. Thanks again, Diana. Ladies and gentlemen, Diana Schiff.
You know, I had something to say, but after that, it's out of my head. Except that it really is an honor to be here and to be part of this prestigious list of the Hall of Fame. As my father said, it's about time Umbrella made the list. Thank you.
You left your comics here, Mark. Do I get to keep them now? Actually, I haven't. All right, our second last award of the evening, the Jean Day for Canadian Self-Publishing. It's our other new category that focuses in on those creators that go the independent route in both the creation of their graphic stories and the publication of their books. Unfettered by the dictates of a publication house and holding sole ownership of their creations, this is both a liberating course to take and one that can be fraught with peril in these harsh economic times. Our hats are off to these brave and unique individuals that sail these treacherous waters in their quest for total freedom in their creative endeavors and for breaking new ground for others to follow. The presenters for this award are the JSA's James Whaley and longtime friend of the late Jean Day and David Day, brother to this award's namesake and another artist from this talented family. Gentlemen. First of all, I'd like to take this moment to say thank you to the Schuster Associations for announcing this award on Gene's behalf. The opportunity to be here to present this on my brother's behalf is very special to me and my family. Gene passed away in 82 at the age of 32. I'm reading that before. At a very young age. Within his 10 years of artistic endeavors, he became a true Renaissance man. He was just too many groups and achievements that he did in his lifetime to even mention it all at once without forgetting at least some of them, or half of them I would at least, on it. He did more in 10 years than I have, will probably do in my life, and a lot of other artists will probably ever accomplish in their life. He's a true pioneer in the field of comics. He created the leeway for my career as an artist, and he helped many other artists in Canada as well as in the world. I'll mess this up because I can't pronounce half French.
Well, I just like to say a few words about Gene. Back in 1982, David's brother Dan gave me a call, and it was the day that Gene had passed away. I can't remember a longer day in my life because Dan had called me to get in touch with a lot of the people that Gene had worked with over the years. I spent that entire day calling one person after another and going over the same details with so many people through that day. It was Doug Minch, who was working on Master of Kung Fu, Matt Zek, a lot of people a lot of people I'd never met before, and being in contact with so many people. It was one of those days where it's like the day, you know, that John F. Kennedy died or John Lennon died. It's a day never that impacts on you so much. And Gene was like a brother to me also. And so many people's careers were impacted by what Gene did. Gene was back with self-publishing when it was all Xeroxing, stapling at home, mailing out to people. Nothing to do with the internet or email or anything like that. And the amount of work that he produced was incredible. And I never knew Gene once to do a bit of work for somebody that wasn't 100%, 110% of what it did. Whether it was for a major publisher, a small fanzine, whatever. Gene put the same work into everything and David knows that.
Well, $100 a page, you got paid, or $3 a page, isn't that
exactly. If Gene put his name on something, he stood behind it. There wasn't levels of, well, this is the quality of work I give to this, the quality of work I give to that. I don't think enough people in Canada realize, in the comic industry, realize how many people Gene influenced, how many people Gene gave their first breaks to in publishing them in publications that he put out. And that's why it's so important to name this award after Gene. He was a major figure in the industry and sadly forgotten by lots of people. So we want to keep his name out there. And, sorry. But the nominees are Jordan F. Beauchamp, The Day After D-Day. Jesse Jacobs, Blue Winter, Shapes in the Snow. Miriam Levicki, Jotniki, An American Girl's Adventures in the Israeli Army. Dakota McFadzean, Hypocrite. And C. Eric Peters, Peter the Pen. And the award goes to... Jesse Jacobs.
I've never gotten an award before in my life, so this is pretty great. There was a lot of talent considered for this, so it's quite an honor to be here. I really enjoy making little books, and I'm never really certain how they're going to be received, and so it's great to have a pat on the back such as this, and thanks to everyone involved with the Schusters. For recognizing self-publishers with all the heavyweights, and thank you for everyone making comics, because I like to read comics.
Hang on a second, Jesse. Also, in addition to bestowing the JSA award plaque alone as this category will generally consist of up-and-coming comic book creators, we feel it's part of our mandate to not only encourage these fresh new talents with memento to hang on their wall, that salutes their efforts, but with a cash prize of $500. And also books and a gift certificate from one of our sponsors, The Labyrinth, one of Toronto's premier locations for graphic novels, publications on comic artwork, and other material on graphic storytelling.
Wow.
I'm joking.
It really is this money, too.
Really got to start self-publishing these comics. All right, okay, folks, we've come to the last Joe Shuster Award of the evening, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce our final presenter, Jessica Fry. Jessica graduated from Brock University, where she studied the common writing conventions of Japanese theater and comics, then followed up with a master's degree in communications, culture, with a thesis on self-representation on the internet and multimedia, and new media approaches to teaching creative writing, including, of course, comics. Jessica is also the host of Hardcore Nerdity's Geek University podcast and has several poems and award-winning science fiction stories published. Here she is, Jessica Fry.
Before I start, I just want to tell a little story about how small this the Canadian comics community is. My very first comic book that I ever purchased was Marvel's Rise of the Midnight Suns number one. From the Dragon in Guelph, where I grew up. So thank you for being here. So the most daunting thing for most writers to face is a blank sheet of paper, or more likely these days, a blank screen glowing back at them, that beautiful blue wash. Words on a page quite often are the first tangible beginnings of a graphic story, and this category, the Outstanding Canadian Comic Book Writer Award, honors those brilliant wordsmiths who, with a selection of just 26 letters and raw imagination, craft tales that inspire graphic vistas by their artistic collaborators and shock and awe in their readers. To someone who works with words on a daily basis, it is a distinct privilege for me to have been asked to present this particular Joe Shuster Award tonight. So, the nominees are, and I apologize, Ian Boothby for Bart Simpson's Treehouse of Horror 14, Bongo Comics, Simpsons Summer Spectacular, I think that's everything. Cecil Castellucci for Jane's in Love. Dragster Riot, starring Robin, the Boy Wonder, Wonder Woman and Black Canary, Justice League, the New Frontier Special, and Superman Confidential 11. Maryse Dubuc for Les Nombrils tombent trois, Les Liens de l'Amitié. Ray Fox, The Apocalyptics. François Lapierre, Gédéon et les Bêtes du Lac, Comte et les gens du Québec. Mariko Kamaki for Emiko Superstar and Skim. And finally, Jay Torres for The Family Dynamic 1-3, Legion of Superheroes in the 31st Century, Teen Titans Go, and Wonder Girl. And the winner is, let's see if I can get this. Mariko Tamaki! Is there someone who would like to come speak for her? Oh, marvelous. Mariko can't be with us tonight. She's not feeling too well, so I will send her some help. I'm sure she is very, very grateful and thankful for this. So, thank you.
Okay, as you probably can tell, I only have one sheet of paper left, so that's it for the evening, ladies and gentlemen, for the 5th Annual Joe Shuster Awards. I hope you had a great time.
Yeah!
I thought it was great. We'd like to congratulate all the nominees and the winner, so let's give them a round of applause again. And thank you for all attending. And please hang in for a few minutes. There'll be some photos taken, and for any of you that would like to join us in the Innes Town Hall Cafe for the awards after party. Just exit by the rear doors of the theater and hang a left. You can't miss it. Hope to see you all again next year in 2010 as we once again come together to celebrate the great sequential art legacy that this country has to offer. Thanks, everybody.
Finish business, and that's that the Beguiling and Word on the Street Festival have donated one graphic novel and comics prize package for us to give to a lucky audience member. Now, we forgot the tickets. So what we did was we taped something to a chair in that section. So if you want to look under your chair, you may have the winning ticket.
You're on the wrong side.
Drum doesn't qualify. It's
the first time I've seen 40 people reach between their legs simultaneously. I'm starting to get it.
Jason, you were there. Come on for it.
The business card.
What the light?
Got a lot.
Okay, which business card is it?
You're the winner.
Okay, you're the winner. Wherever you are.
Don't sit on that seat.
Rob, maybe you can go up there.
He can't remember.
Can't remember? That's not a long name.
Is that the card still in his pocket?
Well, let's take a look in the box.
He's coming. False alarm.
I hope you got something to carry.
Ooh.
Congratulations. Let's thank the Beguiling and Robinson once again for the fun.
Thanks for everybody coming tonight. Thank you, Jonathan, for being our host.